We are continuing in a series here, a series in the life of who? Abraham. Very good. Abraham. It's Abram. That is technically correct. Eventually we will be Abraham, but we are Abram now, and it's not Sarah. It's Sarai at this point, but their names will change shortly. And we are just looking in and watching this story unfold, one of the amazing stories in the Old Testament. What chapter is Abram introduced in? What chapter in Genesis? Chapter 11. He's first mentioned in chapter 11, and that's where we started a couple weeks ago, where we just looked at his requirements, his qualifications for ministry, didn't we? We read these verses, and there's talking about he got married, they moved around, then somebody died, and that's all we saw. We looked at that and said, you know what? There's nothing amazing there. And what we drew from that is that God chooses ordinary people to be used by him. And Abraham is a great example of that, just very ordinary, and no great pedigree, no training at that point. God just chose him. And we looked at all of this and said, you know what? We can be used by God in the same way. He uses people the same way he did thousands of years ago. Well, the journey continues. They packed up the kids and they moved to where? Not Beverly. No, I saw that. They moved to Egypt last week. Took a little detour down there, a little visit. There was some famine issues, and so we went down there, and we looked at that little adventure, and what did Abram ask his wife to do? Say, you're not my wife, you are my sister, and in essence told a lie. We looked at that, and we looked in Proverbs. There was a reference there that God hates lying lips. Then we skipped ahead with some help from Mike Wilkerson to help me with the math. We skipped ahead 25 years. He did the exact same sin 25 years later. The exact same sin. And as we walk with him through these lessons over the next 10 weeks, we see that he failed again. And we recognize that God uses everyone, that when there's confession and forgiveness, that he still used Abram in spite of everything and in spite of what took place. And it's just a very, very amazing lesson of what took place then. Now, today, let me ask you this. You ever get in a disagreement with somebody? Do you ever squabble? Do you ever quarrel? There better be some shaking of head. Yes. Yes, you do. Maybe Chris Centeio doesn't, but maybe not. Maybe Mike Hornkel doesn't. Oh, goodness. You know, I had the opportunity just to sit down this week with Steve and Sandy, and we talked about some really good things as the three of us just spent some time. You know what? I came into them. And I didn't know specifically what we're going to talk about. We talked about some really good things, some plans they have, and it was all good. And so I come in there kind of sheepishly because Ruth and I had just had a quarrel and a disagreement, and we actually raised our voices at each other. And then you go in like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to go in and do this? Yes, we quarrel. Yes, we disagree. Yes, we argue. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to look at two men that do that today. And one of them gives us an example of some things we can do maybe to, when we do face those kind of situations, maybe we can minimize the quarreling, maybe we can diffuse the quarreling a little bit. And as we look at this story, we're going to continue to discover who Abram is and what he's doing. So I need you to open your Bibles. We're in the series, what's it called here? There we go, Becoming God's Friend. Today is Avoiding Strife. We can use all these different words, strife, quarreling, disagreements, things like that. We're in Genesis 13, and we're going to look at all 18 verses today. And it's on page 9 in your Bible, the blue Bible, It's on page 9. Excuse me. And let's do that. Let's just open up. We're going to start reading here and see what we can learn about how to minimize and diffuse quarreling, disagreeing, you know, how we can do that. What are some things that we can do as believers and followers of Jesus Christ that we can choose to do to maybe say, you know, it doesn't have to get this nasty and ugly between us. We can back off. We can make it better. All right, here we go. Here's on your outline. Then let's do this. Two men solved a problem. Okay, so two men are going to solve a problem. That's what we're looking at today. And what can we learn from them? There we go. What can we learn from them? Let's learn something. That's why God has given us His Word. And He knew that we would quarrel. He knew that we would disagree. He knew that it would happen between husbands and wives. Imagine that. All right. I see smiles. You guys aren't guilty, are you? I mean, I am guilty. I told you what happened on Wednesday night. It was cute. I kind of sheepishly came in and slithered behind my desk, put my little face up. No, I didn't. We had a great time, but I did tell him we had a disagreement. So, all right, it happens. All right, here we go. Is this lucky number 13? Yes, it is. All right, here we go. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 4 is going to be the first point. Here we go. So Abram went up from Egypt. Remember, he was in Egypt before. They took care of this whole wife being sister issue and all that. And Pharaoh said, get out of here, guy. Take her and go. All right, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. And Lot went with him, okay? So Lot is following him around as a relative. And let's see what happens. Verse 2, Abram had become very what? Wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. God was amazingly blessing him, and even though he acquired a fair amount of that in Egypt, even though he did everything wrong in Egypt, he really did, but God still blessed him. And from the Negev, he went up from place to place until he came to Bethel. Now, this is interesting. He is coming back to Bethel, and he has just left. Go back to the previous chapter. Let me just show you something. In chapter 12 and verse 8, from there he went on toward the hills east of what? Bethel. All right, so he was at Bethel, then he traveled down south, and now he has come back to Bethel. And in Bethel, he had some great things back in the previous chapter. I'm in chapter 12 again. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord. There he called on the name of the Lord. So the time he was there, he spent time with God. We don't have a lot of details, but he was walking with God closely. Then he goes to Egypt, and he sins, and he boo-boos, and he makes a mistake, a big one. And what's happening now? Is he leaves Egypt and he comes back to Bethel, to the place, I'm in chapter 13 now, verse 3, from the Negev he went up from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now it's interesting, we talk about to call on the name of the Lord means to pray and to proclaim. But I'm assuming part of this whole part of coming back up is getting back in a right relationship with the Lord, restoring his relationship to the Lord. The things that he had done down there, he kind of, in a sense, he had kind of backslidden. He had a little bit. He was strong with the Lord in Bethel before, goes to Egypt, backslides, sins. The sin is recorded. And actually, it's a big sin when you think about just the lying, but the part of not trusting God. The part of saying, God, you can't protect me. You've made these amazing promises to me. You're going to make me the father of a great nation. And he demonstrates no faith in God. So there was some loss of relationship. But the good thing is he goes back to Bethel and calls on the name of the Lord, proclaims the Lord's name. And I think one of the things that can help us here avoid some quarreling and strife is to look at our relationship with the Lord. There are times when our relationship is not right with the Lord, and I think we might be more prone. We might be more open, you know, to fall into sin easier. I believe it. I think that's what happened here. And so what I'd like to do is just set up this whole chapter and say this. If you're going to avoid quarreling and strife, first things first, verses 1 to 4, make sure you're right with God. Because if you're not, you know, if you're carrying around a lot of baggage and sin and attitudes and things and you haven't dealt with them, let me tell you what. You're going to quarrel with people and you're probably not going to handle it real well. You want to restore that relationship with the Lord. Confess the sin. Deal with what was wrong. And then, as he did, call on the name of the Lord. Pray and proclaim. I just think that there's an amazing little cycle here in these first four verses of looking at his life and backsliding and then coming back. And I think that's just a helpful thing. If we're going to avoid some of this stuff that goes on between people, between husbands and wives, we have got to be right with the Lord. It will minimize that. Amen? Amen. It will. It will do a lot to minimize it. All right? So, as Fred Krebs would say, when you're wrong, you need to confess and then press. Confess your sin and then press on. And keep going and walk with God. Keep short accounts. Return and renew. Get back with the Lord. All right, so I think that's verses 4, 1 to 4. That's a start. Now, let's see what happens in verses 5 through 8 here. On your outline, I misnumbered a couple verses, so I'll talk to you about that. But let's start at verse 5. Okay, now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. All right, so you got two large groups traveling together, but kind of side by side. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Look at verse 7. And what? Quarreling, strife, arguments, problems, tension arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. Okay, so now you've got two men that have a lot. They have many things, all right? And their herds are so great, they're starting to intermingle, and they're trying to keep them straight. And the servants who are trying to keep all these things straight are like, well, that's our sheep. No, that's not. That's Abram's. No, that's not. You know, that kind of stuff is going on because they've just been blessed so much that kind of, you know, quarrels and strife is going on. And you can just see Abram. He's watching this. Maybe Lot is too, but we know Abram is from a distance. Just watching. He knows exactly what's going on here. He knows what's taking place. Now, it's interesting here, the Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at the same time. All right, so not only do you have these two large flocks of animals, but then you've got the Canaanites and Perizzites, and what we know about them is they also had lots of livestock. So you've got all kinds of problems here with groups that are too close together, and because they're too close together, they're going to naturally do what happens. There's going to be strife and quarreling and problems. All right, so what does Abram do? All right, so now where are we at? Verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, you know what? Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. All right, so what do we know here? We know that Abram is the key figure here. And Abram, when something like this happened, had the right to go to Lot and say, look, this is not working. Pack up and go. I am the older, you are the younger. I will make this decision. You take your group and you guys need to go because there's a problem here and you know it too. So he had the right to do that. He could have said that. Now, what he does though is pretty amazing. He goes to Lot and instead of saying that, he says, you know what, we got some problems here. Let's stop this quarreling. Let's not have problems. We are relatives. Let's diffuse this problem. And it's interesting. He chose not to tell Lot to go. And he could have done that. He had every right to do that. And it wouldn't have been wrong. And Lot would have... All right. So, let me just say this. All right. Now, this should be 5 through 8. Okay? So, on your outline, just scratch out the little 7 and put 8. All right? Consider giving up your rights to keep peace with a brother or a spouse. Consider giving up your rights to keep peace with a brother. And this can apply in a number of different ways. Certainly, my flocks are probably not impinging or infringing on your flocks. We don't have that specific issue. But there may be issues that I have with you. And you and I need to talk about them. We need to deal with them. Isn't this interesting what Abram does? He chooses to give up his rights right here. He could have said, Lot, go. And Lot would have probably packed up and left right away. And I'm sure Lot, maybe in preparing for this little powwow they were having, sitting there thinking, okay, well, we're going to have to pack up. Which way are we going to go? Thinking to himself. But when Abram comes in, he doesn't do that. And he chooses to forego some of his rights in order to keep peace with a brother, which I think is an interesting thing to do. When the next time you disagree, let's keep this pretty personal. The next time you disagree with your spouse, hopefully it won't be today, but it might be, consider giving up your rights. Sometimes it's hard to put this into practice. Sometimes it may be just saying, you know what? I don't completely agree with Ruth on this point, but I'm going to give up my right and just not make this an issue because it's important to her. And, you know, it plays out in a number of different ways. And you really, I think one of the things is, as you walk closely with God, when you get into these situations, that I believe God gives you the wisdom. What's the best thing to do? How can I give up my rights in this particular situation to help out and to keep peace with a brother? Let's say that the issue is not between husband and wife. Let's say it's between me and somebody else. And to sit down and talk with them about that. To choose that I would choose, or this other person might choose, to give up their rights in this to keep peace. What an amazing thing we see going on here from Abram and what he did and how he handled this with Lot. And I'm sure now Lot is just sitting there at this point, and Lot is saying, wow, I didn't expect this. I didn't think this was going to happen. And Lot is just sitting there. Okay, what's going to happen now? Well, let's see what Abram does at this point. All right, let's go to verse 9 now. Okay, here we go. All right, so 8, let's not have quarreling. We're brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, this is amazing, too, because Abram is saying, okay, I'm going to go to the right, therefore you go to the left. He doesn't do that. Look what he's doing. He's saying, look, I'm going to let you make the choice, Lot. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. It is actually a pretty amazing thing that he just chose to do that. And he's giving Lot the choice, which... part of that goes back to the previous point of giving up his rights, and that's a huge right. It's a huge right. As we're going to look in just a minute, we're going to look at some of the geography of the choices that are right in front of us, but it's a huge part of what he does. But I think what's different from verse 5 through 8 and verse 9 is that he says what? Let's separate. Let's part company. Let's go in different directions. That's what's going on in verse 9. All right, so let me get the principle up here. If you can't work out the problem, then consider separating. There are times when the problem is so difficult, so complex, that you may need to separate. You may need to go in different directions. You may need to go in different ways. I want to speak to this in just a moment, but let's look at a New Testament example of this. And I've got all these verses here. This is Acts 15. And let me just go through the story with you. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, so we've got Paul and Barnabas, two key leaders, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So they're on a missionary journey. They go to many different cities. And he said, you know what? We finished that missionary journey. Now let's go back and check up on everybody and see how they're doing. Barnabas said, okay, good, but I want to take a guy named John Mark with us. Paul, I want to take John Mark with us and go on this trip. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him. So when he made this suggestion to Paul, Paul said, no way. Because John Mark had deserted us in Pamphylia, one of the areas, and had not continued with them in the work. He says, no, we're not going to take that guy. He left us. We had some tough things we were dealing with, and instead of hanging in there with us, he left us and went off in another direction. Now, look at this. They had a minor quarrel. They had a little dissension. They had a little strife. No, what does it say? A sharp disagreement. Paul? Yes. And Barnabas, two of the key church planters in the New Testament, godly men, had a heart for God and doing His work. They had such a sharp disagreement, they flat got in each other's face. No, he's not going. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. There's no way. God's not going to bless us. Yes, God is going to bless us. John can do this. I want him to go. No, I don't want him to go. These two got in each other's face. They had a strong disagreement that they what? Parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed off for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Both of them went in different directions. Now, sometimes the issue is so complex, it may require going in different directions. I would say that is the exception. I would say the rule is what Lot and Abram did. Is that, what did they do? They spent some time face to face. One person was upset. And so what Abram did is drew Lot in and understood the problem, and they spent time talking face to face, dealing with the issue, discussing it. We don't have all the details here, but they did that. Now, some people take this little passage and feel that it gives them an out. Well, you know what, I kind of disagree with that, so I'm going to part company. Well, actually, if you're using this passage, the first thing you need to do is you need to recognize there's a problem. Second, you need to go talk to the person. This is not just, well, I got a problem, and I'm upset, and I'm borrowed, and I'm bothered, and there's no way I can work this out. Okay, that's fine. Did you talk to the person? What happened here? They talked. They spent time together. And I think even Christians misuse this passage, and they say, well, we can't work this out. It's so difficult. It's so hard. We can't make this happen, so we're going to part company. No. You can part company. Yes, you can. But you need to spend some time face to face with that person. That is the example here. Spending time working through the situation. Then it might be that you should part company. But at least you try to work out the differences by spending time together. That is the accurate application of this passage here. You see, some people, and especially let's talk about church. Some people, when they get upset, let's say, heaven forbid, they get upset at the pastor. They get upset at the pastor, and they're not happy about something. And so there's this, I'm talking, and I'm upset, and I'm all this way. Well, we should separate. We're going to leave the church. Okay, it happens. And I think what's hard here is when people choose to do this sometimes, they have these little bombs. These little bombs of information. Like, I'm not happy with this. And they throw the bomb behind them, and they start walking. Then they have another bomb, and they throw it behind them, and they leave, never coming in this illustration and talking to the pastor about it. They throw their bombs, and they leave. Happens. Unfortunately, it happens. Now, I can say this. That's not applying this chapter the way it should be. You should go and talk to the person. The other thing is, let's stay with the example. Let's say you're upset at me, and you drop your bombs and you go. And people do this. And they never plan to deal with the issue, never plan to talk with the pastor, never try and work through it. The thing is, yes, it does reflect on me. The problem is you are dealing with God's church, and I just happen to be the pastor, but it's God's church and God's ministry. Be very careful about dropping bombs and leaving. One day, I think God takes a dim view of that because it's His church. And He establishes leaders and leadership. And until, you know, He does that. Don't drop bombs and go. I've seen it too many times, unfortunately. And under the guise of, oh, we can't work it out. Well, we never tried to work it out. We're just running and throwing bombs. It happens way too much. Now, in the case of Abram and Lot, what is so good is they talked about it. And it's interesting. It's interesting. Abram gave up his rights. He gave up some big choices to Lot. And it's amazing just to see what they did and how they tried to work through this. And I think it takes an incredibly mature person to give up their rights. It does. It does. It takes an incredibly mature believer to choose to give up their rights and do this. And we see now that Abram is moving forward in his walk with God. He is taking big strides in what's going on and dealing with Lot. All right. Let's continue on. All right. Consider separating. Sure. But do it the right way. You're going to do that. All right. Let's look at verses 10 to 13. So Lot looked up. So now we're in the discussion. They're both standing in front of the tents looking at the land in front of them. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's looking one direction. Those cities are over there, but it's well watered. It'd be great for flocks, and it's nice. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. All right? So here's what he did. He makes his decision. He looks to the east. And he looks over there and sees trees and good land, grazing and well-watered and things like that. But there's these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. They're out there. But he says, you know what? There's no doubt in my mind I'm going to make this choice. And so he looks at Abram and says, I'm going that way. Abram said, God bless you, go. All right? So he goes that direction. All right? Abram, look at verse 12, lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain, and pitched his tents, what? Near Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. All right, so he makes a decision to take the better-looking area for flocks, but there's two cities, and where he starts right now is he pitches his tent near them. Near them. Some time passes between chapter 13 and 14. Look at the chapter 14. Look at the little title. What does it say? Abram rescues Lot. It doesn't take long before we're going to see Lot move from the field or from around that area into one of those cities. It says they were sinning greatly against the Lord. So we're looking at Lot making a decision now. And Lot makes a decision that is better for the crops, but worse for himself and his family. All right, what is the sin that they're doing? And we're going to go through these chapters. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to show you the sin because it's in this thing. Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. Now what we have in 19:1 are two individuals, they're actually angels, but they're men, arrived at Sodom and they were going to spend time with Lot. Okay? Two men. Look at verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. So he's staying at Lot's house. Lot now has a house in the city. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. All right, that is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were going to have sex, men with men. That was a sin there. All right, so Lot made a decision. He looked at the better land and said, you know what? I know those bad cities are there, but they're not going to be too much. Yeah, I'll stay away from them. Yowza. Bad decision, Lot. Abram's going to have to come rescue you, and some other things are going to happen too. All right, let's continue on. All right? Let me say something about decision making here. As you make decisions in your life, if we look at Lot's decision, he did not have a heavenly perspective when you make decisions. You need to look at the decision in light of what area might be best, but there's also a spiritual side to every decision too. How will this decision affect my spiritual life? Lot did not do well on that. Lot made a decision to take the better grazing land, but the spiritual side was devastating. It's going to be devastating to him, his family. It's going to be terrible. So I put it this way, have a heavenly perspective. You have got to include in your decision making that, yeah, this is a great opportunity, but there needs to be a part of that decision that says, spiritually, how is this going to impact me? How is this going to impact my family, my children, those that I know? You have to have that as part of your decision making. We see a man making a huge mistake. Better agriculturally, worse spiritually. Interesting, huh? All right, so there we go. Have a heavenly perspective. Draw God into every decision and ask for his wisdom, and keep in mind a spiritual dimension is a part of every decision. It was with Lot, and he blew it. All right, let's go on. Let's see, let's just wrap this up here. Verse 14. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes to where you are, and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. So we got a lot of them, right? How old is he? He's at least 75, isn't he? Probably older than that now. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. And basically, the last four verses, God says, you know what? This is where you're at. I'm going to give all of this to you. This goes back to that chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. This is part of the promise. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And he still hasn't seen it. He's 75. He might be pushing 80 at this point. And he's hearing about all this land that's his and all the offspring, and he has no children or no male heirs this point. All right, let's look at a couple things. Let's come back to where we started about strife and problems and difficulty. Two men work through a problem. One of them does some amazing things in this, and something for us to consider when we work through problems with others. Okay, first and foremost, on last thoughts here, is make the goal to seek peace. Okay, in other words, one of the things when we work through these kinds of issues, ultimately the goal is to seek peace. All right? Next thought. I've got three or four different thoughts. At times, it's better to be blessed by God than win the argument. We are so programmed to win the argument. Yes, we are. I'm right. You're wrong. Husband right. Wife wrong. Wife right. Husband wrong. We are so prone to win the argument. It's better to be blessed by God than win the argument. In a sense, Abram did not win the argument. He didn't here. He gave up his rights. But in a sense, he didn't and is going to be blessed by God. And the consequences for Lot are staggering in his life and everything that happens to him in the future. Okay, here we go. Final thought is this. Seek peace and trust God to handle the rest. Sometimes you choose to give up your rights. Sometimes you may choose to separate. If you do, do it the right way. Try and work it out. If it doesn't work, go in peace. Don't drop bombs when you go. Too many bomb-dropping Christians. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how God will handle that someday, but he will. We'll leave it up to him to do that. Amen? Interesting thoughts, watching two guys solve a problem and what Abram has done. And so what I want to just say is Abram's spirituality is just growing at this point. You see some amazing things. We're going to see some really high points here over the next couple of chapters as Abram is used significantly by God in his work and ministry. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for just the fact that we can look at this great story and see some amazing things done by your servants. And Lord, as we think about this, as I think about this, and as every man and woman in this room does, we're going to have quarrel and strife with somebody, and it could happen very soon. Lord, help us just to remember these lessons and to pray for wisdom, to be in a right relationship with you, and then maybe choose to give up our rights to keep peace. Maybe there's times that we have to separate, and those are rare, but it does happen. Give us the wisdom to know when to do that. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that cares. And you didn't include this story in here just for historical value. This story touches our lives today. Help us to learn and grow from these examples, Lord. Thank you that we can give, and we do that gratefully. Praise you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.